This has been an amazing journey over the last 4 weeks as we've been trying to figure out what we were born for. Freddie Mercury wants me to feel like I was born to kind of just like maybe sing, shake my body. Brittany wants me to know that I'm born to make you happy. You know, that's kind of like what it's about. And Kundwani wants us to know that we're just born to roll, rolling down the highway in our Hummer. And Paramore is like, so we were born for this. This is what we were born for. And so this has been a series looking at, so why did God put us on earth? Why doesn't he just, you know, if we become a Christian, why doesn't he just beam us up? You know, there should be a little chamber where you go and we press a little button on our suit and it's like, beam me up, Scotty. And it's like, ooh, vaporizer, do-do-do-do-do, and next minute we're in heaven. No, because God's got something for us to do down here on planet Earth. We were born to walk out of the door of our house every day or out of the car of our dad. You remember that one ad? Bit further forward, Dad, driving up with your Lonnie car, bit further forward, right in front of the party. See you later, Dad, cool car. Get out of that door and not just strut around like a peacock, but do something. Deliver a miracle to someone who's in need. It was awesome to see that post by Lolu this morning. How that when someone was in need, a friend of his brother, how that he took something, gave it to the guy. Can you imagine how that made that brother's friend feel? Like, hey, you know, this is special. I'm feeling really down, but someone's just given to me. And a miracle happens when I act on that nudge from God. When God pushes me, when he says, this is the guy that I want you to bless, this is someone that you can help, why don't you do this for them? When I meet someone's need through God's power, we've learned about steps to miracle delivery, where I identify a person, who's the person God wants me, because God doesn't want me to meet the need of everyone in Joburg. I'd need big pockets and an amazing heart. But someone specific God's going to bring across my path. And then that person might have like 3 needs. They might need a new haircut, new clothes. But maybe they can't afford to pay for an exam at that modeling school. And that's the need. I can't do too much about your haircut because I mention it and then you get all grumpy with me. Because maybe it's intentional. I mean, look at James. James intentionally wears his hair like that. So don't go up to James and say, James, you need a haircut. And if it's a girl, don't go there. If your girlfriend or your wife says, how do I look? You say, fabulous, honey. You're not, guys. Private moment. There's times to be honest. There's times to lie. To look them in the eyes and say, it's divine. It's amazing. Don't you dare tell the truth. Oh dear, we better not keep this on the podcast. We'll edit that out in case James's dad hears that. So we've identified the need, okay? Third, we open the heart. The person doesn't want me to speak about their hairdo unless I've got a close friendship. Don't you find that with your close mates, you can actually go and say how your breath stinks? Very close mates. I don't know about you, but I would rather suck peppermints myself and blow it up my nose. Rather than saying to someone, your breath smells. Or like, dude, where you been with those arms? What's up with under those arms, dude? You need to get a sprayer in there. Here's one that I use, Brute Man. And you'll grow hair on your chest even, which is not good for girls. Girls don't use Brute because that can put hair on your chest. And that for guys, that's a good thing. Unless you're cyclist, because then it slows you down because the air is slowing you down with the hair. So step 4 is to deliver the actual miracle. Now that the person's warm to you, now you get your clippers out and you shave their head. There comes the miracle, right? It's step 4. You don't just walk around like, whoa, miracle, dude. That's for you. No, you engaged in this process of identifying. And then secondly, it was, isolating. Wait, I got it. Number 3 was open the heart so you can drive a bus through it. And number 4 was deliver the actual miracle. Okay? And then number 5 was Transformers, the movie. Transfer the credit. Because you know what people want to do? They want to think I'm like really something special. You know that Zulu word I've dropped a few times, booga mina? You know, like, look at me. Booga, wena booga mina. Mina, look shy, wena. You wena, book, book a mina. Look at me, or I'll give you a tight clap. Okay? And so I don't want the focus on me. Who do I want the focus on? God. And so I need to deflect. I need to hold up a mirror and shine it in their eyes. Do, 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 do. And they say, wow, you didn't do this. You were just a delivery. The postman, when he comes and he puts a letter, if the tax man gives me a refund, and the postman puts the letter in my inbox, and it says, here's a refund of maybe 20,000 rand, maybe. Be really nice. 2 years ago, I paid him 32,000 rand extra. That wasn't a nice year. So what happens when the tax man gives you money back and the postman brings it? Do I open the letter and go and hug the postman and take him out to dinner? Wow, oh mighty postman, thou hast delivered unto me a great blessing, a great... No, I might give him a little like 5 rand or something, 50 rand maybe. But you know what I'll do? I'll thank the tax man, or I'll thank my tax consultant who filled the forms in well. He's just the delivery agent. He didn't write the letter. Mr. Taxman did. Meet the tax man. Andrew's got him on first names basis. The tax man phones Andrew on a weekly basis. I'm not sure that's a good thing. But anyway, you could find out. So it's all about transferring the credit. Not the delivery agent, but the one who sent the miracle, which is God. Okay, so that was the first week. Then we looked at some keys to how do we actually deliver the miracle. And there's just 4 keys to remember. There's the master key that unlocks everything. And this is a state of mind where every morning I go and I say, God, would you use me today? I'm available. My hands up. I'm pick me like Shrek the donkey. I want to be used. I want to move into your area. I want to live with you. In the mornings we're having waffles. Okay, so I'm going to be here with you the whole time, God. You need me, you just tell me. This puts my mind ready to deliver a miracle. If I'm not aware in my mind, I'm going to miss what God brings my way, okay? So that's why it's called the master key. Secondly, the people key. I've got to have the heart of God for people. You know, if I don't care about people, then I'm not going to help them. I'm like, people, yeah, they get in my way. You know what I mean? People are such a pain. If I have that attitude, I'll never give my 200 Rand Cresta voucher to someone like Lolu did. No ways I'll do that. Spend it on myself. Dude, I'm going to be your friend, man. Be your friend. You see, it's about friendships, about impacting people's lives. The third one was that when I come to deliver a miracle, I can't do it on my own, so I partner with God the Holy Spirit. So if God's going to do something unique, if God's going to give me wisdom, I'm not going to know that on my own, but the Spirit will work through me to deliver the miracle. And then the fourth key is the risk, because at a certain point, I kind of feel, I don't know if I can give this money. I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can pray this over the person. I don't know how they're going to feel. Are they going to wage holy war against me and jihad, and next minute I'm hiding like Salman Rushdie? Don't worry, it's an old story. And there's just this fear, you know, when I'm doing miracles, like, I'm going to look stupid. God, are you going to leave me hanging? No, I overcome the risk, you know, and the risk actually is an indicator that something special is about to take place. Whenever you feel like, I don't think I should do this, do it. Do it anyway. And like we said, this is in the context of the 5 steps. I don't walk into a dark alley at night on my own and say, yo, Mr. Gangster Dudes, I'm here to do a miracle for you. Okay, this isn't a safe place. That's where I use the risk key. Then we saw that there were some signals along the way that can really help us out. Things like a nudge from God, where God comes and he says, like, hey, this person, I want you to go and do something to them. And so God kind of nudges me in the back, and it might be something I see. I might hear voices in my head. You remember Keegan's testimony in second service last week, how that he was hearing voices. God said, go and give, because God speaks like that normally. Go and give a Coke to that person, however that goes down, right? You might just hear a voice. You might have a sense. You might just, and that's God prompting you. Then there's the clue that I need to look for. I'm looking at the person. I'm scanning them. I'm like, what's the guy's need? You know, Daniel, what's the need? I'm looking at him, he's down. I'm going to help him out. He's not got no money for Mixit this week or whatever. You know, and then I'm going to go and help him out. So it's body language, it's words and stuff. There's bumps where I ask a question. So like, how's it, man? Any money for Mixit this week? Oh, no, man. How did you know? It's like, hey, a friend gave me some money and I'd He asked me to carry it around. And if anyone doesn't have money for Mexico, he asked me to pass it on to them. It's like, dude, cool. Who's your friend? Aha. Open up and share the gospel with the guy. And then there's the prompt when the Spirit just drops something into my mind and I know something. I just look at Kondwani and I just know, dude, I just know he needs a new shirt this week, a new T-shirt from that Rosebank spot that he always shops at. You know, and that's a God thing. I hope that wasn't, because that could cost me big time. And I have this thought, like, oh, I've got to do something. And that's a God thing. It's not just your own mind. And lastly, there was that fear alert that says, no, don't do it. Well, do it anyway. Do it anyway. Take a risk. Don't let the flesh dominate you. You know, don't let your body be the whole thing. Last week, we learned about the money miracle. The money miracle said that we can take our money and we can use it to do something really significant for God. And we learned about the God pocket. Everyone, who was here last week? Most of you. Most of you started a God pocket? Well, here's what we're going to do. Andrew and others, or some of you guys can help me, Dan and others. Make sure everyone gets one of these. If you were here last week, everyone can get one of those. And then, Loli, if you can hand out some penners. Make sure there's a pen close by. It's anonymous. I don't want to know who you are. But last week, we pledged to give away a combined total of 2,000 Rand with AM1 and AM2. And I need one of those two, one of those little pieces. And what we need to do is whatever we pledged to give away last week, I want you to write what you actually gave away. If you gave nothing, this is not like your wife saying, how do I look? This is honest. And even there, I think you should be somewhat honest. But you should affirm and then be brutal. So you put butter, and then you stick them with a knife. Okay, so here's what you do. You write down the amount that you gave away last week. If you weren't here, don't take one. Don't lie. It's not going to help us if I write down 30,000 Rand. If I gave away 30,000 Rand, then I'm going to put it down, okay? And later we'll tally up how much we actually gave away, and we will let you know how much we gave away for this service. If I'm right, this service was 1,400 Rand, Andrew. The second service was 600. Correct. So that's what we said we would. And it's a fun exercise to see what we actually gave away. And then when you're done, you can just simply give it to Andrew. Okay, so we're not patting ourselves on the back. We're not trying to like, ooh, doo-doo-doo-doo. This is just like, so what did we actually do? Ideally, when the God pocket is empty, you should put it away. Oh, you should refill it, okay? So that you can give away again and see how God blesses people through you. I spent a lot of time on Monday desperately looking last week for people to give to. And maybe I was looking too hard because no one seemed right. And I was in a whole lot of places and God didn't. And then Tuesday evening, two guys were at my home and God just said, they are the recipients, so take half and half, give it to them, and it happened eventually, huh? Yeah, absolutely. And so this was the pledge we made, and anyone got a testimony to share? We're going to have two or three testimonies. What's the testimony that she had about giving and God and being blessing people? Who's got a testimony about doing something, stepping out, doing something, giving something? There's got to be some. Especially if you haven't testified yet in the series. I want to hear from you. Don't leave me hanging. Don't make me do all the testimonies. Don't leave me hanging.
Awesome, bro.
Okay, the other day, I was standing at the tuck shop, and then one of my friends needed 2 Rand. So, luckily, I had 2 Rand in my pocket, so I just gave it to him, yeah.
Awesomeness, Mbele. Thank you. Generous like we wouldn't have been if it wasn't for the series. Someone else? Is this about a Born for This testimony? Okay, we'll sit down and think about it some more.
Okay, I'm not going to testify about giving money because, yeah, I was broke. Anyway, that's besides the point. Okay, my father and I were driving in the car taking my dog to to the vet. And then there was this guy outside our door, and he looked really sad. So then I wound down the window, and I waved at him, and I said hi, and he looked really happy. And he smiled at me.
Thank you. Can you see from that story, it doesn't have to be money. There's a lot of work. Now, last week we spoke about money, but you're right. If it's not just about money, you can touch someone by just a smile, by a kind word, and going out of your way. And I really like that testimony because it's in keeping. Because there are weeks that you're broke, right? Especially when you're 1 week away from the payday you've just had. Like, let's say a day after payday, like it's like, I don't know about you, but there's just holes in the pockets, you know? And the money just goes. Anyone else? Another one. One more. Coming once.
Guys, like about the 200 Rand thing, like I gave the guy the 200 Rand, right? And then he was happy and whatever. But then like he came back to me afterwards and he's like, no, I can't take this. I have to give it back. Because he knew that if he took the 200 Rand, he wouldn't have used it for his bag. He would have used it for something else. So it's like, I don't know. It's like maybe God made me give him the 200 Rand as like a test or something, you know, to test to see what he would do. So, yeah.
Thank you so much. Thank you. We're just changing up a microphone. You have to get a working one. I really want to encourage you to keep working at being sensitive to what God wants to do through you. And today, we're going to speak about two different miracles, okay? Two kinds. We've learned first about the money miracle. Today, I'm going to speak about the dream miracle, and then Andrew's going to come up and speak about another kind of miracle, because it's not just using moolah. It's other things. Here's a miracle that we can deliver. Do you know that we were born to deliver miracles of life purpose? I want to suggest to you that every one of us has a dream for our lives. And often it's kind of dropped into our hearts and minds when we're growing up. We just have this feeling like, I'm here on this earth to do something and to do something significant. I mean, there's verses of scripture like in Jeremiah chapter 1 where he says, you have appointed me to do something with my life. You've called me to be a prophet. Even before I was born, you put your hand on me. How many of you feel like you were set aside to do something in this world? How many of you feel like that? Don't be shy to put your hand up. That I'm here on earth to do something. And my whole life is about figuring that out, what it actually is. That's a God dream that's been placed in our life, a desire God's put in us to do something special. And I find it out along the way. And it might be to change the course of history. It may be to do something that maybe history won't know about it, but it's still significant. We are God's workmanship, says Ephesians chapter 2, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. That's why God has touched us. That's why he hasn't beamed us up to heaven, because he's got a plan and a purpose for us to do on earth. God has a plan for every one of you. Life is about figuring out, what is it? What am I here to do? How do I do it? But you know, it's sad, but that for some people, the dream has died. And it's like there's a cemetery somewhere with dreams, dead dreams, resting in peace. And maybe, you know, something has come my way that has made me feel, who am I? I'm just a nobody. I mean, I was born in Durban, of all places, on the bluff. I can't do that. Maybe someone born in a more famous place like Parkhurst or Amarantia. Something sounding like fancy, but you know, Boy Patong. I'm from Boy Patong. Who am I? Well, I'm a boy from Patong. So stand back. The world's going to see me. You know what I mean? I can take who I am and even where I'm from. I mean, wasn't Barack Obama from some little village? And I'm not Kenya. It's Kenya. It's one of the most beautiful countries in Africa. But some little village near Lake Victoria and the Kagera District. I've traveled those roads. Man, it's not a neat, neat place. It's like dismal. It's like cows and stuff. He's the most powerful man arguably in the world at the moment. Next to Kondwani, of course. But he's like some major dude happening there. You see, people's dreams can die. Maybe they fear. Maybe they fear rejection, or they feel insignificant. And maybe your dream is in danger of dying. You know, maybe you think, oh man, my family's just bust up, and I'm not even sure I know my dad, and the school I'm at. Man, I'm at Parkhurst, of all schools. Why can't I be at St. John's? And then I'd have a bright future. You're supposed to throw things at me at this point, James. Maybe I feel my school's not cool. You know, maybe I'm like at Northcliffe instead of like Roosevelt Park High, or maybe I'm feeling, I don't know if I'll get into the best university. It doesn't matter. We can live our dream. But people need us. People need help as we deliver a dream by helping someone to rediscover their dream. So I'm going to come with a miracle delivery by finding someone who's lost that dream. It's an amazing story in 1 Samuel 25 when David, he had been appointed king many years before. I've read reports that it was like 20 years, 25 years. From the time God said, David, you're going to be king, until he's like still running around in his pajamas and pink slippers. It's like, well, I'm not king. Well, maybe David, your pink slippers are a clue. Well, I don't know if he had pink slippers. Maybe he was wearing sheepskin stuff too much. But David is like, this is not going to happen. I'm not going to be king. You know, this King Saul is throwing javelins at me. And one day David even gets a chance to slit his neck. I don't know about you, but if I'm a king in waiting and God's told me it's been 20 years, I'm going to sharpen my sword. So one day I'm in a cave and King Saul's there taking a wee, and I'm going to sneak up to him and slug him. Because that's what the dude was doing. You're vulnerable when you're like, your skirt is up around your neck. All David had to do was cut him. You know what David does? He cuts a little piece of his skirt off and he goes and shows and says, I was this close to killing you. But you are God's king. You are God's anointed one, and I'm not going to do it. But a couple months later, David is feeling really down. And this woman, Abigail, comes and says to him, don't give up. Don't lose heart. You will be king. God's time is about to come. And David says, like, man, this is God's word to me. You didn't say this to me. David needed a miracle delivered to him. He was so down. If you see someone down and they're like, you know, God wanted me to run an orphanage and I don't know if I can do it anymore. You need to say to them, under with God's discernment, hey, this is what I believe God wants you to do with your life. Okay? So it's the delivery of a dream miracle. You're not reaching for money. You're reaching for what God is saying about them. And now this is how it looks. Same five steps, in case you think we're repeating ourselves a bit. Firstly, identify a person. And maybe I can use questions like, hey, are you living your dream? What's your dream? Oh, no, I had a dream, but I wanted to be a helicopter pilot, but no more. That dream crashed. I hit the ejection seat, and I went through the rotor blades. You must know this. You don't hit eject in a helicopter. That's only for airplanes with propellers in the front, okay? It's a very important life lesson. If you remember nothing more, don't eject from a helicopter. I've done it once, and that's why I look like this. It took doctors 6 months to put me back together. Okay? You just get sliced. You become like an x-ray. It's ugly. It's horrible. What you need to be doing is helping people get back into that cockpit, knowing that they can fly helicopters and hit the right eject button. It's a side eject, apparently. Maybe I need to ask someone, have you died? Not you, silly. Has your dream died? Did you have a dream? And the person just says, yeah, I had one, but it's like, it's gone now. You know, maybe I have a criminal record against me. I have a criminal record. I wasn't going to kill people in a township. I appeared in a court of law. I said, heck no, I'm not going to. And this was halfway through my studies as a Bible college student. And I thought that because of that, I was going to get kicked out. I was sentenced to 50 days in jail or 50 rand. Guess which one I chose? Prison, because there's free food. I was a student. No, I didn't. I paid the mullah. But if it's died, if it's like, can I be a minister now because I got, you know, and the guy said, I don't deserve to have rank. I deserve to be shot, court-martialed. I'm like, dude, just because I don't want to kill my fellow South Africans, you want to shoot me? I don't see the logic in that, Your Honor. But my dream didn't die because God came and reinforced it. And so I need to identify someone maybe whose dream is dying. Secondly, I need to isolate their need. What are the obstacles in the way of their dream being fulfilled? Maybe there's failure. Maybe they've tried once and it didn't work. Maybe they want to run an orphanage, but they went to Baby Haven and a baby puked all over them. You know, it's like, I don't know if I... No, go back. After the 10th puking, you immune. You don't even smell it anymore. Ask any father and mother. It was like, oh, so the baby puked. So what? It's like, cool. Oh, no, it's projectile vomit. It's actually quite nice. One small thing can set you back, and you can say, you know what? It's not for me. I'm out of here. And if you can identify what that situation was in my life, and you can start to say, hey, Mark, let's talk about that experience. Man, there's a lot of blessings that you would get if you can just hang out with some orphan kids. It's not all puking. There's some other lovely stuff. They look at you and they say, hey, dude, how's it? When I'm big, I'm going to give you a lot of money. You know, that happens too from children. Still waiting for that to happen from my children. It's coming. One of these days, Keegan's going to make a lot of money, and I'm just going to have all the moolah that I need. Isolate the need. Find out what it is, and then open their heart. You need to affirm the dream to them. You need to say, I believe this is God's dream for you. You need to say, well, hey, describe the dream to me. James, tell me what the dream is. I need to get him to value it. I need to get him to the point where he says, yes, it's important for me. I need to get you to live it. But also, I need to help you see it done. I could say to James something like, James, I want you to fast forward in your life. And I want you to see yourself owning that company and being such an awesome manager and leader that every one of your employees is fulfilled. And James starts to picture it, and he's driving a Bucati or something. I don't know if that's a Catty or something. But he's driving this awesome car, you know. And he's just like, wow, I can see myself living it, okay? And so that his heart is now open for the dream miracle. And now I get him to affirm his dream and to act on it, to take the next step towards the fulfillment of their dream. And I lead him in a prayer of commitment. God, I pray that you would give me faith to believe that this dream is going to be fulfilled in your time. And tomorrow I'm going to take step number one. That's the miracle. The miracle's not abracadabra. You know, it's not Harry Potter here. It's no, you don't have to learn some spell or something. It's helping the person reconnect with their life purpose, and you pray a prayer of commitment over them. And then finally, you want to say something like, and I think some of us are missing this whole thing. When it comes to delivering these miracles, and maybe in some of our testimonies we don't share the whole story. When I blessed Isaac and his mate who were with me on Tuesday night, I stopped when I had put that money into their hands. And I said, I want to tell you why I'm doing this. We've been reading this book called Born for This, and it's about touching people's lives as God's agent. And God had wanted me to share this with you. And I tried to give this away yesterday, but I think God was holding me back to give this to you. And this is to bless you. And I want you to remember that God did this for you. And they both like, yeah, okay. They were like nervous or whatever. Well, they were like looking around, maybe like something special from heaven's going to drop. But it transitioned it away from just doing good. Get it? There's nothing wrong with just doing good. Sometimes you need to just be anonymous, do something good. But a lot of the time, if it's going to become a miracle that is going to touch their lives deeply, and they're not just going to turn around and thank you and join your fan club. I don't just want people to hit the like button for me, you know, if you do Facebook. I want people to hit the like button for God. I want them to go to his fan page, add him as a friend, and find the like button and say, like, I like what you've done for me. This is really cool. Like, I want to do something back for you, or is there anything you want me to do? And sometimes there might be even a space to say, hey, why don't you come to youth, you know? Well, I come back next week and I want to see you. And so it's about transferring the credit to God. I'm going to ask my lovely assistant, Andrelina Folkson, if she would come forward. And she's going to share with us the second miracle that we're talking about this morning. Oh, so Andrew will do it.
Here's the amount of money that we got. 1,023 rand. Oh, yeah. Give yourselves a hand. That's good, guys. Well done. Well done. All right, so we're going to do the forgiveness miracle. But first, I want to tell you a little story. So Nelson Mandela is sitting at home one day, right? He's watching Bafana Bafana against Denmark. Hey, and Impela's got the ball, and Impela's in the 18 area, and Impela shoots, and ding-dong, Nelson Mandela hears the bell downstairs. So, so how does Nelson Mandela walk? There, he walks downstairs, gets to the door, opens the door, and there's this little Chinese guy there. Eh? And there's this big truck behind him with all these car parts. And the Chinese guy is standing there, and he's got this clipboard. And he's going, ha, you sign. And Nelson Mandela says, I'm going to try to use his accent. I don't know if I'll get it. I'm sorry. This is not for me. I have not ordered any of these things. I'm sorry, it is not for me. So the guy goes off, and he closes the door. And he goes back to watch the soccer. The next day, he comes back again, ding dong, and he hears the bell. And he's like, walks upstairs, and he comes back to the door, and he opens the door, and there's the Chinese guy. Ha, you sign. And he sees the truck, and there's a whole lot of other car parts in the truck. I have told you, sir, that this is not for me. I have not ordered this thing. I'm sorry, but please go away. And he closes the door. Next day, same thing. He's upstairs resting, and ding dong, he hears the bell again. Now he's getting a bit mad, and all that like boxing, fighting vigor that he used to have from his younger days starts to well up. And he goes downstairs, and he gets there, and he opens, and there's the Chinese guy again with this clipboard going, sign. I am sorry. He grabs him by the throat. I have told you before. This is not for me. Who are you looking for? What is the name of the person you are looking for? So the guy looks on the board and he goes, are you not Nissan main dealer? Nelson Mandela. Okay, anyway. So the Chinese guy had the chance to get offended and Nelson Mandela had the chance to get offended because they were both irritating each other. So who knows that we get offended like very often, and often we like get irritated with people and then people hurt us, like pick us up by the throat and say, what do you want? So in this instance, two people could have got offended, right? And there's many instances where we've got offended. And one of the things that happens is that we cannot forgive people and we can actually hold on to the unforgiveness and say, the Nelson Mandela guy is not a cool guy. He's actually a bad guy, man, because he grabbed me by the throat and like, you know, he wasn't this cool president who forgave everybody because he was mean to me, okay? Or you can do something like that. So you hold on to the forgiveness. And what unforgiveness does is that it locks people into a prison of unforgiveness, because when you're unforgiving, you think about it all the time. Have you ever had that? Where you're like, man, I'm going to get back at that person. I'm going to figure out how I'm going to get back at that guy. And man, when I find him in this, I'm going to get his buddies against him as well. And I'm going to get, and then we're all going to gang up on him. Hey, okay. You don't go that far. Sometimes I go a little bit far. So we get those thoughts in our heads, right? And that whole thing is actually a prison. And as Christians, we've got the key now, this other key, the forgiveness key, to actually go and help people get out of that prison. Okay, and there's a couple of scriptures here that I just want to show you that you can look at. Okay, so that's the key there. It says, you have a key to release people from the self-made prison. And in Matthew 6, verse 12, it's the Lord's Prayer. It says, Lord, forgive me as I forgive others. So basically, the Lord will forgive us. It's forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others. And so we only get forgiven by God as we forgive. All right? So if we're not forgiving, we're not getting forgiven. So that's how we get into this prison. There's also another story in Matthew 18 verse 27, where there's a story about a king who's got a servant. And the servant comes to the king and says to the king, I owe you all this money. I've got this huge debt that I have to pay. But I don't have the cash. And the king shakes his head and he says, you know what? I forgive you. Take the money. Don't worry about it. It's okay. So the guy's like, whoa, thank you. And he walks outside. He's so relieved. And the next thing, he's walking down the road and he checks his buddy Lennon. Man, you owe me money, bro. Come here. And he goes and he grabs Lennon by the scruff of the neck and says, you give me the cash right now. I want my money. And the guy says, please forgive me. I can't do this now. Be patient. Just wait a while. And he's like, no, I want my money right now. If you can't pay me, I'm taking you off to prison. I'm going to go and like lay a charge against you. And the guy's like, I don't have the money. So he takes him off to prison and he gets checked into prison. And all these other servants are around and they're watching this and they're like, hey, that's not right. So they go to the king and they tell the king, and the king is mad. And he calls this guy back to his court and he says, you know what, I forgave you everything. That huge amount that you owed me, I forgave you. And that little amount that that guy owes you, you can't even forgive him. So you know what, you are going into prison and you're going to be punished. And he chucks him into prison until he can pay back the last little bit. And that's what happens with unforgiveness. If we don't forgive others, God is not going to forgive us. Okay? And so there's this big lesson that we can learn from that. And so basically what we're going to do is just have a look at the steps again. And the first thing, of course, is like identifying the person. So say it's the Chinese guy. Ha, can't forgive Nelson Mandela. Angry with Nelson Mandela. Okay? So we identify the person. I see this Chinese guy is talking about presidents in this country, useless. Government, useless. So I see this guy's got issues. Okay, so let's go talk to the guy. All right. So we start talking, right? And I've identified him. I've looked at like, there might be like bitterness, you know, a grudge that he holds. You might say, I don't like president. President here, useless. Okay, now I know he's got an issue. So we've already figured that out. Then what I'll do is I'll then go and isolate the need. There's a lot of hurts and things that we've all held and unforgiveness in our hearts, but we can't deal with everything in the person's life. So then we go and we say, so why exactly are you upset with presidents in the country? Because I have incident with someone the other day. And you say, oh, so what happened? I go with truckload of stuff to go deliver to his house. He hit me. He beat me up. Hey, oh, okay, so there was an incident. I've isolated the need. He needs to forgive that particular incident, right? Okay, so we've got that whole incident that we've just isolated. And so what I do now is I then talk to him, and there's three things that I can do with him, right? I've got to soften his heart and get him to a place where emotionally he can kind of say, okay, I'm ready to forgive. So I say to him, I say, do you know the story in Matthew 18? I mean, in the Bible, it talks about this, and it's that whole one about the master. I can tell him that story. But there's three elements that come out of that. There's basically that Jesus has forgiven us. He died on the cross for us, and he took all our sins. Okay, so we've been forgiven, so we can choose to forgive other people too. Okay, it's the three J's. The second J is justice, is that God is the one who gives justice, not us. We don't have to go and like go and take vengeance out on people, you know? So Chinese guy doesn't have to go and get his triad guys and say, oh, we go chop suey, Nelson Mandela, now we find him, we're tiny in a little alleyway, we take him out. Okay, don't have to do that, because God will give the justice, right? And then the third one is the jailer, is that we are our own jailer. If I hold on to the unforgiveness, I'm actually imprisoning myself, so all I've got to do is just forgive, and I'm free. Hey, how easy is that? So you just explain this to the person. Now, once their heart is open and they're like, oh, okay, I see what you're saying, right? That's when you bring your delivery package, you insert the envelope, and ba-boom, there we go. We get them to a point where we can then get Chinese guy to say, I forgive Nelson Mandela for having hit me with fist, okay? So we get to that part there. Before God is now the last wrap-up is the test. We want to see that he's actually forgiven. So in doing this, it might take a little bit of time because some people have really held on to that grudge for a while. Okay, so Chinese guy's like, no, it's very difficult to forgive. I have many hurts. Hey, but we let it like just sink in. We just like wait a bit. There might be a bit of silence. You know, we're not uncomfortable. That's cool. We can, I'll see you in about 5 minutes. I'll be back then. No, no, you don't. Just wait within there. And soon enough, you'll be okay. I can forgive. Okay, so will you say this with me then? Then you just wait another 5 minutes. And I mean, if he doesn't, I don't know, you can pray with him. You can talk a bit more about the scriptures, about God and how God's forgiven us, just till it settles in. And when the person's ready, then you get them to confess, to say, I forgive Nelson Mandela for all offenses he ever done to me. He is good president. Okay? And so that's the miracle delivered. At the end of that all, what we want to do is obviously then give the transfer, the credit back to God. And so you get them then to experience God's forgiveness, to say, okay, well, now I feel forgiven. Once they've done that, they'll have a sensation of a release of a burden off their shoulders, and they can say, I now can experience this forgiveness, and thank you, Jesus. Sorry that I held grudges. I've offended you, God. It was no one else that I offended but you, and thank you for forgiving me for all my sins. And so you can lead them in that as well. You know, how are you feeling? You know, what does it feel like to actually let go of this? And so that's the forgiveness key. Ha, thank you. Thank you very much.
I just want to encourage you to actually live the miracle life. To be looking out. And not, you know, now the series has kind of come to an end, but don't pack it away. You know, there's at least the money miracle, there's the dream miracle, the forgiveness miracle, there's the salvation miracle. That you can identify a person who needs salvation, you can isolate their need, hey? That you can open their heart toward the gospel, that you can deliver the miracle, transfer the credit. And so there's a whole lot of, you know, there's maybe someone's caught with a habit. You could call it the habit miracle. So don't think it's just money and dreams and forgiveness. Those are three that we've chosen to focus on. But live it. Live it. Look for ways to deliver miracles. And you will bless the world around you. So what can you do going forward? Well, there's another handout today that's for you. Jared, this is your first time here. So you can pick up on the pool table week 1, 2, 3, and 4. And anyone else who's missed any of the previous weeks, there's a whole lot of these sitting on the pool table at the back. 1, 2, 3, 4. At the low, low cost for today only of nothing. If you don't get it today, the price goes up to nothing, 50. Okay? So get them today while they're free. Week 5, pick up the other ones. If you want one for your friend at school, you're welcome to take. Okay? Then deliver miracles. Be looking to do this. Don't hold back. Do what God has born you to do. Don't get born for something and do nothing. Okay? Paramore sings, We were born for this. Hey. Okay, don't make me sing. If you're not delivering miracles, I'm going to come to your house and I'm going to sing that. I promise you. I will be outside your window singing. You don't want to hear that at 9 o'clock at night. I will come and sing at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, Kondwani. And then share your miracles. Share it with your friends. Talk about it. You can do what you were made to do. Born for this. I trust it's been a great series. Let's pray together. Father, we want to thank you so much for what you're doing in our midst, for the testimony, for like all that money, Lord, that was delivered and shared to people in need. And we're still going to hear what AM2 has delivered, and we're just trusting you to work through us. Thank you for FS Challenge, to not just look for money in the pocket, but maybe a smile and a kind word can bring a smile to some Madala's heart. And so, God, send us out of here, really living what we were born to live. And Lord, if we even think about not doing Kick Club, and it's not because we're on another planet or another province, Lord, won't you kick us in the bum? Motivate us in this holiday to do something to touch young lives. Lord, we've got hundreds of teenagers or children at Craigle Primary next week. We want to bless them. We want to teach them how to play soccer if that's possible, and we want to teach them life lessons. So God, use us in this holiday. Help next Sunday's church service to be awesome, and the week after that as we have a special showing downstairs. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.